You're listening to Mornings, and I read one of these technology stories that made me think, oh, yes, yes, please. It wasn't about jetpacks, which also inspires that reaction. This was about a life without passwords. I mean, could you imagine it? The number of passwords that are in your life at the moment to get into your email, to get into Facebook, to get into Twitter, to get into net banking, just to get into your computer itself, for goodness sake. And you forget one, and actually, this has happened to me before. I've forgotten one and it started this whole domino effect where then the panic of forgetting one password actually made me forget other passwords in my life as well. It's terrible. But could you imagine a world in which you didn't actually need the password, that you could just plug in your user ID, which is normally a word that you can remember and maybe like a number or something, and you'd be able to just roll straight on? Steele Garrion is a technology expert. He's joining us for Mornings. Hello, Steele. How are you going?
Hey, very well, thanks, Kate.
Now, I feel like I might be teased like with the jetpacks. Could this be true? Could there be technology where I don't need a password?
Look, it's certainly possible, and the technology that we're seeing here and that you've seen is in early development, but there is stuff around that is currently already being used that mostly works. And this is great because, as you say, passwords are incredibly frustrating trying to remember them all. The other aspect of it is that they don't actually work. All of this talk about making sure you have a password that's got upper and lower case and it's got numbers and it's got special symbols in it, that doesn't work because the first thing you do is go, I can't remember that, so you write it down on a post-it note and stick it at the side of your computer.
Yes, that can sometimes happen. I'm not saying that that's on my desk.
There are guys called penetration testers whose job is testing the security of organisations, just to, banks and police forces and things like that, want to make sure that they are actually secure. And they find all the time people write down passwords, or they pick a password that is the name of their dog with 99 at the end, which if you know the person is kind of loves their dog, that's the first thing you'll try. There are ways to get better passwords, but the problem is you do have to have a different password for every single thing that you use.
Well, first of all, that sucks to have a different password for every single thing because there's just more things added to your life all the time. And secondly, the sort of passwords, like whenever I invent a password, usually I get insulted by whichever program I'm using because it says that's a weak password. Think of something else.
Ah, yeah, and in fact, they're probably wrong because it's just rude not to have told you beforehand what the password rules were, because then you wouldn't have made up one that doesn't fit.
Yes.
But also those short but complicated passwords actually aren't secure anymore because the bad guys, how can I explain this quickly? When you create a new password, if the system's set up properly, it doesn't actually keep that password because then someone could break into the system and steal everyone's password. What it does, it stores, and the purists will hit me for saying this, but let's say it's an encoded version of the password. And so then when you come to log in later, you type in the password, it tries to encode it in the same way, and then if that matches, it works. The problem is the bad guys have already pre-computed all of the reverse of that for every single password that's less than about 8 or 10 characters long. So if they break into, say, Sony, which happened last year, and they steal all the passwords, they can already just reverse engineer all that. That's
right.
Why you have to have a different one everywhere. If one gets stolen, you don't want them breaking into everything that you own.
So what about this idea that I was reading about yesterday where just somehow it measures the software figures out just from the way that you type, the way that you literally punch down the keys, that you are the person that you've said that you are?
This is great stuff. This is being researched at Carnegie Mellon University, CMU, in the United States. And they do a lot of security research there. And this has merit, I think, because what they're doing is how people type at the keyboard, the absolute micro timing of how they do that is different for every person. But it tends to be all the same. For example, if your password is a very bad password, Kate123, you'd never do that, I'm sure.
Oh, still, you found me out.
You would be shocked to see how common passwords like that actually are. But the way your fingers move from K to A to T is going to reflect just a natural rhythm that's about the way you type. And it'll be within a few milliseconds of just how you hit each key that is predictable. And someone else trying to do that will never be able to get it right. Even if they watch you do it, they'll never be able to fake it closely enough for the system. So
this really astounds me, because I feel that the way that I type is largely dependent on whether I've had coffee in the morning or not. Like, I feel like I'm horrendously uncoordinated until I've had my coffee in the morning.
Yeah,
if I'm trying to log in before appropriate levels of caffeination, could I get locked out of my own computer in this way?
Well, this is where I must say they're developing this technology, and these are exactly the kind of problems that they have to work through. But there'll be some factor of measurement. It might not, for example, be that it's 15 milliseconds to this and 20 milliseconds to that, but it might be the ratio between them, or it might be some other such thing. And that's really what they're working on to get this right. But it has promise, because it is something that they say in this business that is a different factor of authentication. And that sounds very fancy, but there's really only three ways that you can prove that you're who you are. And that's something that you have, something that you are, or something that you know. And something that you know is a password. Something that you have is like the key to the front door of your house. It's a physical object, or it's the actual,
or your ID or whatever.
Yeah. Your ID card. Yeah, it's some physical object. Now, the problem with those is that they can be stolen. But then that's why your ID badge has your photo on it. Because they can say, aha, that is both the right, that's a legitimate badge, and the second factor, the photograph matches the face of the person standing in front of me. So this kind of whole how you type thing, it's important. No one can steal that from you.
What about, though, wouldn't it be easier just to pull something out of science fiction movies, which is where a lot of my scientific information comes from? What about that kind of biometric measurements, like scanning eyeballs and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, this stuff exists, and it works. The thing is, though, you need something which, if it's going to be widespread, it has to be affordable technology that sits in everyone's computer.
Right. So in that way, the eyeball scanner would be too expensive, but the thing which measures exactly how you press on the keyboard would be, that sort of software wouldn't necessarily be expensive at all.
Almost free, because you've already got the keyboard, and this would just be a little bit of software that becomes part of your login. We are getting things now like face recognition. There are some laptops starting to be out on the market, or software logins which, you know, if the laptop's got a webcam in it, it can recognise your face and allow you to log in. Now, the problem there is that it's really only, to be honest, in my opinion, a toy at the moment, because you can fool it by holding up a photograph of the person in front of the camera.
Right, not ideal.
Not ideal. And then you have the question of, well, what if they're dead and you just wave their dead head in front of the camera too?
Yeah.
Although, you know, neither you or I work in the kind of environment where that's going to be an issue.
No.
For serious high security places like military banks or whatever, they do have to think about that. It's a bit scary.
So is this the kind of paperless office thing where they'll tell us that the future will be one way, but it won't be? Can you actually see a realistic future of that's password free?
Well, we already have it in some way. And
rubbish. We do not.
Okay, not totally password free, but if anyone's had to interact with Centrelink over the past few years by the phone, they're already using voice recognition to authenticate people. And the cool thing about this, it's actually an Australian company that has all of this technology, and they're considered to be a world leader, that Centrelink, if you register for this, and not everyone chooses to register for this, but you can do what's called enrolling your voice print, and you start telling over the phone to Centrelink, here are samples of your voice and so on. And then when you come to phone into Centrelink and you want to do some business with them, it'll ask you for your account number. It'll ask you, I think it's for your name. Don't quote me. I haven't tried this one myself. And then it will ask you to say one of the five random passphrases that you previously recorded, and you say that again. And in 95% of cases, people have the right kind of voice pattern that they can go, yep, that's you. We can say that's you saying your account number and so on. And we'll log you in and now give you access to all your stuff.
So that way the passphrase wouldn't have to be private. It wouldn't have to be, you wouldn't have to guard that information because nobody would be able to say it like you did.
That's the magic thing about it, because your passphrase could be something like, my dog is named Fred and I love him very much. And it doesn't matter if someone else knows that, because they won't be able to say it the same way you can. And I actually spoke recently to the CEO of the company that creates all of this technology, and I said, hang on, couldn't you just, you know, you surreptitiously record your housemate logging into Centrelink on the phone, and then later you try and, you know, fake that by playing back the recording? And he said, well, we can actually randomise that a bit, because the order in which we ask the questions can be random, and then the computer can just say, please say the numbers 3165, and that's random on the spot. There's no way you're going to be able to play back a recording the right way. And saying 3165 will, you know, if you try and splice together the recordings of someone saying those numbers separately, it still won't sound right, and the computer will pick that up.
Well, that's very promising. It's very promising.
It is.
I can just imagine myself turning up at work and sitting down and saying, good morning, computer. And then, you know, the computer saying good morning back and everything opening up magically in front of me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the idea is, I suppose, as we get more sophisticated about this, we can combine some of these factors. So it's like, well, it's the way you're typing, the fact that you said your password or your account number or something like that, and that's a close enough match. And in all these things, it's a matter of how desperate are we to make absolutely sure that you're the right person. And we can combine that with other things and say, well, we can get within 95% of likelihood that this is Kate O'Toole, but she presents the morning program, so why is she in here at 10 o'clock at night? Let's just raise the alarm anyway.
She does work very hard. I'll give you
yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Jill. It's wonderful to hear about this. I'm 85% sure that I'm Kate O'Toole, and Jill Garion is a technology expert joining us when we get technological on Tuesday. Thanks, Jill.
Cheers, Kate.
I really hope that there is a password-free future ahead of us. I really do.